This is a CBC podcast. Have you heard? Listening to CBC Radio online is now better than ever. Hear all your favorite shows like Q, The Current, and The Strombo Show at cbc.ca/listen.
Hi, I'm Richard Serrett, and welcome to Out of Their Minds, a program about wild inventions and the people behind them. Geniuses, crackpots, Einstein wannabes, backyard tinkerers, characters.
The effect involves levitation as well as metal transmutation.
What summarizes an entrepreneur, which is Elizabeth, is that you really need to be pissed off, pragmatic, and a little nuts.
The late comedian Mitch Hedberg once said, on a traffic light, green means go, and yellow means yield. But on a banana, it's just the opposite. Green means hold on, yellow means go ahead, and red means where the hell did you get that banana? Later on, you'll meet a Harvard business grad who's been thinking a lot about the banana in ways I'll bet you never could imagine. But first, a bizarre invention that comes out of the mind of a guy from Vancouver. Back in the 70s, I was at a friend's house. He was an amateur magician, and he showed me a copy of this monthly publication called the Paul Bearer's Review. It gave instructions on how to perform magic tricks and illusions, right? So this one copy explains how to perform something called the Belducci levitation. It's an awesome but simple illusion. You've probably seen David Blaine perform it on YouTube. You stand at an angle to your audience. Now stand on the ball of one foot and raise the other foot while blocking the view of your foot that's still on the ground. Got it? It doesn't matter. It's an illusion and it looks amazing. Now, this first story also involves a levitation. But you're going to have to ask yourself, is the man at the center of the story pulling a Belducci? Or is he channeling the great inventor, Tesla?
Well, in school, I just walked out the door and went into the mountains.
That's our inventor, and the man behind some extraordinary claims. His name is John Hutchison, and he never went to high school.
I didn't do well in school, and eventually my parents got me a private tutor. And this private tutor taught me some things in chemistry, which yet caused a national UFO alert when I was making hydrogen balloons in my parents' backyard. And they go up in the sky, and, well, the news media came around and interviewed me, and because Vancouver was thinking that they're having a UFO invasion. That was funny. That was 1965.
John's a Canadian inventor, a self-taught mad scientist. He was fascinated with chemistry from an early age.
Did some experiments with trinitroglycerin in my parents' backyard, which they didn't like too much. I made it in my mother's refrigerator, and I'd take it out of the refrigerator and take it into the backyard and blow up rocks with it.
In his 20s, John built an illegal radio transmitter on the roof of his parents' house. Soon, the authorities were circling in helicopters, and John was forced to take it down. Then, John graduated from chemistry experiments to physics and electricity. Never mind that he had no formal training or education.
Well, I would always like to play around with these high voltages, and what I did was actually turn the lights off to study the different types of sparks and interaction of sparks in the dark. And I'd keep hearing noises like things falling down or things crashing into something. And I'd turn the lights on and try and find out what happened there, and then actually I left the lights on when doing the experiments and saw things move around by themselves.
Things were moving around by themselves. Was it a magic trick or was it real? Either way, it all happened 30 years ago. John had a makeshift lab full of Tesla coils and transformers and something called a Van de Graaff generator, plus a bunch of parts he salvaged off some old Canadian Navy frigates.
He took me up to his apartment, which was stuffed to the gunnels, you know, from floor to ceiling with all kinds of kind of weird and wonderful pieces of electronic equipment.
This is Nick Cook, a journalist and former senior editor at Jane's Defense Weekly. He met with John for a book he was writing. The image of John's lab is still etched in his mind.
radios from submarines and ships from the 1940s and 50s through to kind of exotic looking bits of, you know, lab equipment, more modern lab equipment. And you could barely squeeze through, you know, some parts of his apartment. I seem to remember even the bathroom was full of this equipment.
Apparently, Hutchison made quite a first impression.
I enjoyed his company. He met me outside. I'd seen pictures of him, obviously, but I was still surprised by his unconventional appearance, the long hair. I seem to remember he had a crack in the lenses of one of his glasses, and I found him, you know, an eccentric but warm character.
That book Nick Cook was writing was called The Hunt for Zero Point. It's about the military's long-rumored pursuit of anti-gravity technology. He needed to talk to John because Nick had heard about the claims.
I recall that a cannonball slowly lifted off the table and started to levitate and float. And what happened there was that I got kind of scared. What happened also was a 1,500-pound transformer levitated. That was kind of impressive to see that happen and shake the whole building.
Hold it right there. I think I've seen this movie before. 1961, Fred McMurray, The Absent-Minded Professor. Remember? A college professor invents an anti-gravity substance called flubber. Anti-gravity is outlawed under Einstein's general theory of relativity, and it's a concept that, quite frankly, makes most scientists back out of the room slowly, including Dr. Philip Chang. He works at the Canadian Institute for Theoretical Astrophysics.
When people talk about anti-gravity, people like to think about it because it's a very useful thing. If you can float or levitate float objects, you can fly, all right? You're almost like a magic thing where you can just float away. And given our level of technology, that's not achievable right now. In fact, it's not even clear if the physics for behavior like that even exists.
So anti-gravity does not and probably cannot exist. Right? Try telling that to John Hutchison.
I was getting major effects, which are demonstrated on Fox TV, Fox News, Strange Universe. In the old days, it was hard to replicate, and the effects would take maybe anywhere from several hours to a day. Then from 2000 to 2008, I had it all set up in the apartment where I could simply put all the plugs in to the extension cords, and within 15 minutes I give multiple effects to people.
Ever since he was a kid, John was inspired by the work of Nikola Tesla. Now, Tesla was a Serbian-American engineer and inventor, and he was a revolutionary in the field of electromagnetism. Among other things, he invented the AC induction motor, which led to us using alternating current in our homes.
Tesla is an amazing genius, and I'm not even a scientist, you know. I sit and watch and study and listen and learn kind of thing, and if I'm in doubt of anything, I'll read a book.
John's gone way past Tesla, and in fact, this keeps getting asked him all the time. And well, you duplicated Tesla's lab, and there's things that he's discovered that Tesla never even imagined.
This is Nancy Lazarian, John Hutchison's fiance.
Using Tesla's equipment differently, I think, is what created the Hutchison effect.
The Hutchison effect. That's the name given to the series of phenomena associated with John's lab and those Tesla coils. The effect allegedly produced levitations. It turned solid metal into jelly and even caused the occasional object to temporarily disappear. You can see videos of this stuff online. It's freaky, but is it real? Dr. Chang.
From what I can make out, he has a Tesla coil and a Van de Graaff generator, right? And in essence, what that provides you is high voltage sources and a high voltage, high frequency source. Now, whether or not that can actually induce this electrogravitic effect, for me as a scientist, I would say no, that wouldn't do something like that. his videos where he shows the levitation and stuff like that, I don't have a good explanation as to why he sees these things, other than perhaps it's a hoax.
John Hutchison maintains that a lot of people witnessed and even filmed the phenomena. Many of his neighbors, he claims, had things levitate in their own apartments.
Oh, my neighbors actually loved it, as well as the mayor of New Westminster visited my lab personally and just simply said, oh, I love people that think outside the box. This is really cool. But the effects that I was creating affected several square miles of New Westminster, and City Hall was getting inundated by complaints about things levitating in other people's apartments and things happening and noises and car alarms going off. So the mayor kind of just said, you know, I don't know what to do, and then they called in the fire marshal.
So imagine you're living next door to a Dr. Frankenstein. Whenever he sparks his contraption up, strange things start happening. You'd probably call the fire marshal too. But the fire marshal wasn't the only person knocking on John's door. A senior scientist from Lockheed Martin started nosing around. Newspapers and TV stations started calling. And then, some former U.S. military brass dropped by.
Colonel John B. Alexander and a team from Los Alamos and also Naval Research Labs came out with a lot of camera equipment, along with their own metal samples, and set me up in a laboratory in North Vancouver. And we started off the day with actually quite amazing results.
Colonel Alexander was investigating John's claims on behalf of the Los Alamos National Laboratory. British journalist Nick Cook met with Colonel Alexander and heard the story of this demonstration firsthand.
John Alexander was able to confirm a number of things. He wasn't able to confirm some of John Hutchison's more outlandish claims, like he'd been able to levitate a plow, an iron plow, in the control area of the experiment. But John Alexander did come away saying that 4 out of 5 of the evaluation team came away believing that there was a Hutchison effect. The problem was they couldn't underpin what that effect was by known science.
Because the Hutchison effect was anomalous and unquantifiable, it was of no interest to the U.S. government. Still, Nick Cook believes Hutchison might have been onto something.
Journalistically, I did my due diligence. I came to John Hutchison because I'd been pointed in his direction by somebody who worked within Lockheed Martin, a senior scientist, in fact, you know, all of which gave me confidence from a journalistic due diligence point of view that John's activities were at least backed up by facts. We weren't in the realms of urban myth. We really were in the realms of sources and facts that you could actually pin down as true.
John still gets calls from TV networks from time to time asking him to demonstrate his Hutchison effect, but the Hutchison effect has pretty much been dismissed as some inexplicable fluke or worse, a hoax. But John doesn't pay too much attention to his critics.
Well, actually, I don't engage them, because I'll just send them, if there's a critic that's making contact to me, I'll just send them a video of one of the newscasts or one of the TV shows, and saying, well, I guess all the TV show people, Discovery Channel or CNN, must be faking it, you know?
Meanwhile, those questionable YouTube videos of the Hutchison effect are still all over the internet. And last year, one of them caught the eye of a self-described intuitive down in Minnesota.
A person I was dating took me out to coffee and showed me a YouTube of John. And that person I was dating had a connection to very high-quality quartz crystals from Madagascar and wanted me to contact John. And I have a public access television show and do a show on John and see if John would experiment with the crystals.
Nancy Lazarian sent John an email. She didn't have to wait long for a reply.
About an hour later, John called me, and so it begins.
Nancy and John fell in love and got engaged. And now that his head was in the clouds, John decided he didn't need his anti-gravity device. So he sold half his lab on eBay for a reported $50,000 and crammed the other half into a giant tractor trailer.
22-foot-long trailer with a door that opens at the back. Quite amazing-looking device. It looks like something out of Star Wars. Weighs several hundred pounds. It's actually made to take in the frequencies, modulate them, and conform a certain pattern, which broadcasts them out into the actual water.
I know. I don't really understand it either. But Nancy had the idea that the Hutchison effect, when combined with some sort of frequency generator, could possibly purify the oil-soaked waters of the Gulf Coast. Why not, right?
We're using ancient tones, audio tones, and those are driven through the Hutchison effect radio frequency equipment. Now, that's different than what John's done before. Now we're using information that I've acquired from my research in the ancients, and what was used by the ancients for restoration and for healing. And we've just taken that in the audio tones and driving them with John's radio frequencies. So it comes out like as a three-dimensional sphere.
Got it? Okay, well, maybe we'll leave that one for another show. But there's no doubt about it. John Hutchison has found his soulmate. They're a good match, these fellow travelers.
Both of us are way outside the box thinkers. In fact, there is no box, folks. I mean, you put yourself into a box, and that's where you get to live. But the universe is absolutely fabulous.
You're listening to Out of Their Minds on CBC Radio 1 and across North America on Sirius 159. I'm Richard Serrett.